By way of introduction, first, for those of you that are visiting this morning, this congregation has six core values. I preached a series on each of these core values during May and the first part of June, five of the six, and I'll show those to you in just a moment. The last one is denominational affiliation. I'll be putting these up on the screen for you in just a moment. I thought perhaps this was good timing with the ending of the Mennonite Church USA convention. Perhaps we might look at those now. So I preached on five of them, and then this is the one that we're going to focus on this morning. So thus the sermon this morning. Secondly, I wanted to mention that the word pride has a positive to it and it has a negative to it. I'll be talking about both of those, so it isn't necessarily bad, although it is customarily listed as the first of the seven cardinal sins, the seven deadly sins. Pride is usually at the top of the list. That's worth thinking about. And finally, I wanted to say that I'll be using the words denominational and conference interchangeably, and thinking about how we network together, whether it's at the district level, the national level. That's just the language that I'm going to be using this morning. Shall we pray? As always, Lord God, we offer our relationships with each other to you for sanctification, and we would pray that the relationships we have as a congregation might be sanctified and that they might bear fruit in line with the kingdom of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, pride has its positives, and maybe pride isn't the best word for a positive. Sometimes then we go to the word proud, that we are proud of something, and even that can jar us a little bit as a negative. So there is this. We can use the three words, feel good about. And I think we can and should feel very good about how we have been formally connected with other Mennonite congregations. Those relationships to conference have borne fruit over many years. I think they are a source of proper pride, not improper pride. These relationships, these conference affiliations, have allowed us to play a part in some very significant ministries. When I use this language, play a part of, I think of the conference or the denomination as a kind of umbrella, and underneath this umbrella, we have played at least a part in making manifest, making come to life, others of these five core values. Personal commitment to Jesus Christ, Anabaptist Mennonite identity, service, peace, and community. So under this umbrella, the reason I think that we can feel good about is that we have played a part with many others in things like church planting through our church agencies domestically and overseas. Seeds have been planted to the point that there are now overseas more Mennonites than there are here in North America. There's education. All of our undergraduate and seminary institutions. Healthcare. Certainly we're aware of this locally with what was the Mennonite Hospital and the Mennonite School of Nursing, and this has happened across the country. We couldn't have done these alone. Can you imagine if this congregation had said, we're going to have a mission, we're going to have education, we're going to start a college by ourselves, we're going to start a hospital by ourselves. You have the camps like Camp Friedensfeld and Menohaven, publications. Actual publications like our church papers, but then giving a platform for the publication of edifying materials by Mennonite authors and others, and on and on. Insurance, investments, counsel, what we once knew as Mennonite Mutual Aid, and now it's known as Everence. Pastoral leadership development and support. You're going to reap the benefits of this in the next months and years as you continue and then complete the search for new pastors? You couldn't do it nearly as well. Where would you even start if you weren't a part of the conference or a denomination? And the many, many relationships that has ensued. All of this is a part of who we are. It's a part of our history as a conference. It's in our DNA. We feel good about this. I wanted to start with this positive, not only because it's important, but I also want to take this chance to give you a personal note. I have a bit of a bone to pick, but I don't know who to pick it with, and I'm not going to track it down. Earlier this year, I was flabbergasted to hear it reported that I had said that my dream was that within 10 years, this congregation would leave the denomination. It's exactly the opposite. I would be flabbergasted and dismayed if at any point I was to hear that this congregation was no longer affiliated in a formal way with other Mennonites in a denomination and in a conference, and I simply want to put that on the record. Maybe it was a misunderstanding how it was heard, how it was reported to me, or whatever, but I thought I at least owed it to you to tell you it's not true that I would dream that this congregation would leave our denomination. However, now we come to the however, and this is a large however. It would be perilous to simply think of denominational affiliation disproportionately and as being business as usual. The point of denominations, the point of conference, is to be about our master's business in a changing world in which we live. And I want to repeat that phrase. It is to be about God's business together in a changing world in which we live. So to simply and or stubbornly hang on to old familiar forms and patterns is unlikely to be fruitful. And I want to amplify this by looking through the lens of pride and its companion, which is idolatry, and that's why I offered the sampling of the text this morning on pride. Very bluntly, the danger is this, that the denomination becomes an idol. That the way things were is treated with the status of that which may never change. To idolize the denomination, to say we are sufficient unto ourselves, or to think, you know, we're really a cut above other Christians, lacks needed humility. And yet in different ways and times, in different congregations, sometimes here, sometimes I hear it nationally, I hear it at the district level, it will pop up periodically. I have noted that in word or action within our denomination is this sentiment: if it's not Mennonite, we ought to be suspicious of it, or we ought to just dismiss it out of hand. The bottom line, for curriculum, for authorship, what we read, for programs we participate in, for educational material that we use, organization of how we do things, style of worship, the missions we engage in, the discipleship training that we use, I repeat, it can creep in. If it's not Mennonite, we ought to just stay away from it. I suggest to you that that is misplaced, unhelpful, and unfruitful pride. Seriously? There are over 2.2 billion followers of Jesus on this planet, and we, with our tiny denomination, think we stand a cut above in God's plans for redeeming creation. We get it, and no one else does. If present, that attitude can contaminate a congregation or a conference. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of vain conceit. Romans 12:16, Think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Here is how I understand this. I believe a Mennonite church, which belongs to a conference, to a denomination, does well to first look to the denomination for guidance in its attempts at faithfulness, but not exclusively. Say that again. I believe a Mennonite church, which belongs to a conference, does well to look first to the denomination, but not exclusively. We do poorly. We deprive ourselves. We are impoverished if we reject out of hand other significant networking of Christians on the grounds that, well, it isn't Mennonite. Now, here's the good news. This isn't accusation. This is, in one sense, an alert. It's a kind of warning, but it isn't an accusation that's directed to us, because I think we have oftentimes, perhaps usually, found a good balance of being both loyal denominationally, but now consider all of these ways that we have been willing to interface with others. So we have found a place at the table with the single most productive ex-offender ministry that I'm aware of, simply in terms of statistics for virtually no recidivism. We have made common cause with Joy Care Ministries. Hallelujah. And when we want to address the question of safe and affordable housing, decency for all people, we have made common cause with and felt good about interfacing with Habitat for Humanity. Hallelujah. We didn't think we had to invent our own or look as if our conference had to do it or else it couldn't be done. The same with the Midwest Food Bank and the Home Sweet Home Mission. And I'm sure I could go on and on and on down the line of the multiple ways that we have said, of course we may make common cause with brothers and sisters in Christ who are not Mennonite. I want to insert something at this point which has to do with the times in which we live that I think is worth remembering. It's no secret there are very powerful forces alive in our times that are on the side of polarization. Us, them, walls. This is good, absolutely. This is bad, absolutely. This is right, completely. This is wrong, utterly. So I think it's especially important that we be aware of this sort of suction into either or thinking of division. It's important that we note it's possible to get sucked into overblown pride in denomination. And in fact, I think it is moving appropriately and helpfully and fruitfully against this kind of division, ungodly division, if we can demonstrate we really believe in something more transcendent. We believe in the language of the body of Christ. And so we ought to be setting examples of how we will not be divided from others by labels that we have adopted, but we will always strongly consider that those who follow Jesus and who are not Mennonite are not a threat. They may be an asset as we seek to live out our core values. And I want to repeat, followers of Jesus who are not Mennonite are not to be assumed to be a threat. These brothers and sisters are an asset as we seek to live out our core value. The sentence I had earlier, and these sentences I thought about, I'm reading a good deal to you of what I'm preaching. This that I just said then connects to what I had said earlier. I believe a Mennonite church, which belongs to a conference, does well to look first to the denomination, but not exclusively. Now, let me flip this on its head in a way. Again, I want to focus on the possibility of pride, but this time I'm speaking of the pride that can go with being a non-denominational congregation. There is also a peril when a congregation is an independent congregation, meaning independent of any affiliation, formal affiliation, with any other congregations. And I use this word peril intentionally. It implies this is not inevitable. I am not condemning every independent church, but I want to at least describe the danger. And what it implies is the value of there being denominational affiliation. So I'm going in the back door by describing what I see as a potential danger in not being denominationally affiliated. Again, 2.2 billion Christians, and how does that look to God? When one congregation, whether it's a tiny one of dozens or a megachurch of many thousands, says we are better off holding ourselves at arm's length from other congregations lest they corrupt us, lest they taint us. At its worst, I've almost heard it articulated as you are less Christian than we are. How does that compare with the text that we read? Do nothing out of vain conceit. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. The peril of pride finding its way into a kind of exclusivism that can happen when a congregation is not accountable to others, I think, is real. Not only is this pride, it is bad theology, according to the Apostle Paul, who said in 1 Corinthians and in other places, he says the various parts of the body of Christ specifically, and he uses this word, cannot. The various parts of the body of Christ cannot say to each other, we don't need you. And the opposite then is true. The various parts of the body of Christ, as God looks over these little clusters of people that say, Jesus is Lord, the various parts of the body should say to each other, we do need you. And yet this we don't need you attitude can be lurking in the we'll go it alone strategy. When a congregation becomes non-denominational, non-networked, non-bound together, non-affiliated. Furthermore, I believe sometimes pride does go then before a fall, meaning in practical terms, independence from others, with independence from others comes a lack of accountability. A colleague of mine, a pastoral colleague of mine, told me recently, when you go that route, you, a congregation, not you, but a congregation, you become your own pope. Congregations can so easily drift then away from their principles or their core convictions. And now I would like to offer you, in practical terms, some what I consider to be deep wisdom that was written years ago by Mennonite churchman John Esau. John had wide denominational experience. And he said that he has noted that once a Mennonite congregation leaves the denomination, they are typically then just one pastor removed from leaving Mennonite convictions altogether. So in terms of core values, at the point that the reminders that come with interaction with other congregations, when those bonds are severed, things like service and peace and all of those things that define the identity of a congregation are prone to drift. Maybe it shouldn't be this way that pastors have this kind of power, but John simply said it takes just one pastor removed. The congregation say almost inevitably, if they go the non-denominational route, well, we're going to stay Mennonite though, but in the end, it almost always rings hollow. There is some kind of suction that changes the very identity of the church, which may be fine. See, I'm preaching pride right now. I'm assuming that we should stay aligned with these core values. Even these need to be looked at periodically with humility. But to the extent that the decision is made, the discernment is made that this is who we think we're called to be, there's always suction to depart from that. And years or perhaps decades later, nothing remains of the original identity. That was John's point. So I return to the list that I started with. Camps, schools, hospitals, church planting. Do we really think we would have produced this fruit if we were going it alone? I don't. So staying pure, as some churches do, by being non-denominational, I would argue is actually a recipe for being less true to core convictions and actually less effective. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that because I can't imagine this congregation going it alone, but nevertheless, in the context of preaching on this, the sixth of our core convictions, it seemed to be worth mentioning. I think there is a peril in going that route. St. Augustine said, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." Something can be very good and become very bad. It is humility that makes men as angels. I would personally hope, while it will not be my place to in any way insist or even influence moving on into the future this outcome, but I would hope this congregation, the Mennonite Church of Normal, continues to uphold denominational affiliation as a core value. What that will look like, even as our denomination itself has changed dramatically in the last 20 years, what it will look like in the next year, 10 years, 20 years, what the parameters and the definitions of those affiliations will be, I don't know. It will undoubtedly evolve. The past can also become an idol. It will evolve as the world changes. But I trust it will evolve in the context of us listening for God's call of living faithfully in this changing world. Amen.